All right, everybody, Terrence Pop here with another episode of Live from the Lair. And today, I'm going to be covering a bunch of topics. Basically, what I like to cover in these is either directly related to Pop's Preppers or questions in regards to other topics, which probably don't warrant a whole show. And, I got a lot of fans out there that ask a lot of questions. So let me get this straight. I got to spend 2.5 years on books and tuition to take useless bullshit just to get at my core classes? Space Ghost is on, you can suck my dick. You got any ungrateful relatives? Well, me too. So buy them something worthless. Get them this book. At the end of the day, they will thank you for getting them something that's priceless. Good advice. So click on the link in the description and learn for yourself why college is a complete waste of time and money. There's been all kinds of craziness going on in regards to the uncertainty of the U.S. Army and the continued use of the AR platform. Some of us refer to as M16, the CAR-15, whatever. The mechanics of the rifle are pretty straightforward. The M16 uses a direct blowback, and there have been modifications to add on a gas tappet system, which is very similar to the AK-47. Which, in my opinion, would be improvement, because after you've pounded out 3 or 4 magazines on the old M16 platform, you get a lot of carbon built up in the bolt and the bolt carrier group, so it could be a problem. I myself, when I was deployed with that weapon, I kept it clean, I kept it oiled, I made sure that at a minimum, I wiped it down at least twice a day, and I never had a problem. But, we're always trying to improve to the next platform. Though, in my opinion, we've pretty much pushed the bullet, the casing, and smokeless powder about as far as it's going to go in regards to its effect. All that's left now is just arguing about the type of bullet, aerodynamics of the round, the casing. At the end of the day, it's something that explodes inside a chamber. The pressure behind the projectile pushes it out, and the rifling base allows you to stabilize the bullet flight. That's it. Okay, and like, for instance, the Soviets had the 7.62, I think, by 54R, which they still use to this day. It's a damn good round. It's been around since prior to World War I. And, other than the fact that it's mass-produced, it's not really a sniper round, though I'm sure you can hand load it if you could find casings and stuff, to do it yourself. But it is what it is. Now, the problem they're having with the 30 caliber rounds-ish is, like, the standard ball 30 caliber round is anywhere from 137 to 155 grains, depending upon what country made it and so forth. Like the Swiss, they're 7.5 by 55. They use like a 168 to a 175 grain bullet. Whereas the 5.56, the first generation, that's a 55 grain bullet. So you can carry 3 5.56 rounds per 130 caliber shell. So if you need to dump a lot of ammo in a short amount of time and you got to carry a lot of ammo with you, then yes, the lighter rounds are probably the way to go. Except, while in Iraq, I saw firsthand how the M16 platform with either the 55 grain or the 62 grain bullets just fell short. I saw a lot of guys that were up to no good take two or three hits and just keep going. If that were to happen with a 30 caliber platform, it would only take one, and that would be it. But it's neither here nor there. Now, there's been a whole lot of talk for the past 10 years about the 300 blackout, which they wanted to have something that was competitive with the AK-47 round, and then you could also have the subsonic for, you know, basically special operations. You know, a lot of people were like, yeah, this is the next round, it's the next big thing. I'm like, yeah, you know what, I'm gonna hold off. And I was right. Blackout, not really seeing any traction for new weapon platforms for the United States military moving forward. And then you had the 6.8. There's three different cases for it that were in the running. To the fact that Wolf actually started producing a 6.8 round in mass, you know, gambling on the fact that the United States military was going to pick that up, which they haven't as of yet. And then there was the 6.5 Creedmoor, which is a damn good round. It'll perform just like a 308, has the kick a little bit more than a 5.56. The only problem is that bullet is so hot, it wears out the rifling relatively quickly in your platforms. So, we really don't know where we are with that. You know, and again, the new contract came up for a new pistol, and it was awarded to SIG, and everybody thought, yay, it's going to be a 45 caliber or a 40. No, still a 9mm. It's a good round. It's quick. It penetrates. And it's more than enough, you know, to take out hairless monkeys. That we are. So, you know, for the questions out there of what I think the next round is for the United States Army, I have no idea. They've been kicking around the caseless stuff since the mid-80s. In fact, I fired a few platforms that were caseless. I didn't really care for them. And, you know, the word on the street is with at least the old caseless ammo, if you were to really rock and roll with the platform, it heats up to the point where it starts to melt the case, and then you have severe problems with malfunctions and so forth. And it's one thing to scrape carbon out of your weapon because that's just a natural byproduct. It's a whole other animal when you need to scrape off molten plastic or other polymers that are used in the caseless ammo. That might be something that requires a complete teardown. It could be very time consuming. So moving forward, I don't really know if they're going to go with the caseless or not, or all I know is the technology we have advanced, you know, in our firearms is pretty much topped out. And all it is just arguing about, you know, who can save as much money, what's effective, and can it be cheaply made and, you know, sent out to the masses. That's, you know, that is my opinion for the question in regards to that. All right, this is just, you know, a quick search I did for the 6.5 ammo U.S. Army. And they have the 6.5 Grendel, the 6.8, the Creedmoor, you know, I mean, it's insane. So I really don't know when they're going to, you know, shit or get off the pot. You know, in my professional opinion, it'd probably be better if they had, instead of one platform with one, you know, ammunition. Because let's face it, it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. So we might see weapon systems moving forward that you can change out barrels for different types of ammunition. or we're going to maintain the 5.56, a 3.08, and something in between, either a 6.8 or 6.5. Who knows? All right, let's see what we got going on here. Da, da, da. All right, now I got another question from another guy in regards to the so-called FEMA camps. Well, here's a little article I found. Here are all the FEMA camps located inside the United States of America. All right. Here's the link right up here at the top. All right. Now, for those of you that are thinking, hey, it's good that we have FEMA camps just in case there's a big disaster and we need something like that. All right. I can concede to the fact that, yes, having something already pre-made and on standby just in case is necessary. So I'd agree with that to a point. But we have 50 states, and there are 800 fucking camps here. A lot of them are former military installations. Just so you guys, you know, put that out there. But look at this. All right. This is a lot of fucking camps. And to turn into a concentration camp, all you really got to do is put up barbed wire and gun towers, which a lot of them already have. All right. All right. So it's really not that much of a stretch to make the assumption that if we have a government that goes off the rails, it's really not that hard for them to convert, you know, 800 of these pre-existing FEMA camps into concentration camps. All right, now a lot of people out there are like, oh, that's World War II terminology and it's not really needed and you're just a fear-mongerer. Well, if you have a camp and you need to round people up to concentrate them there for the safety of everyone or for their own safety, still a concentration camp. All right, so here's all the executive orders in this article that talks about the setup and the maintaining of said camps, the funding, some of the equipment that should be on standby at these camps. They even have a pay scale for temporary permanent employees. They have really, really gone down to the gnat's ass when it comes to planning this shit out. Okay? All right, and, you know, some of them are blacked out on Google Earth. Go figure. But anyway, you know, to the one fan out there that wanted me to give my 2 cents on the FEMA camps, well, there you go. This is fucking insane. I never thought I would live to see a day where, you know, we were actually in fear of our own government. But looks like that day will soon be upon us. Now, I'm just scrolling through here just so you can get a quick look of this article and everything that's contained within it. All right? This is the real deal. It's coming down the pipe. All right, this is a quick one here. I am going to sign out here, and I'm going to continue on in the next one. And you guys send in anything you want me to cover. It could be, you know, on prepper. It could be on terrorism, war, civil war, you know, equipment, what have you, or just current events. I'll cover that as well. Yeah, because unfortunately, we're in a sad state of affairs where an old retired first sergeant grunt is the guy who can, you know, give you his opinion and talk about things that are going on in the world in a truthful manner. Take it easy.